Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is drawn from the Gospel text. Please remember these verses that I will read again. Jesus said, "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." Thus our text. Jesus tells his church to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Teaching the faith, we call it teaching the catechism, is how the church makes disciples. Catechism class is a class that teaches what Lutherans believe. And I often find myself in a very ironic position whenever I teach it. You see, because I'm often teaching Christians what Christians believe, or Lutherans what Lutherans believe. And isn't that strange? If someone who's a Lutheran says, "Well, I believe that people are basically good in their nature," I'd say, "No, you don't. You're a Lutheran. And you believe in original sin, that everyone is basically evil apart from God." Teaching people what they believe seems like a very odd concept. It's like going to the barber shop and saying, "Yeah, I'd like you to taper up the sides a bit and even out the bangs," and having the barber say to you, "No, you want a buzz cut." Or going to a restaurant and ordering fish and chips, only to have the waitress say, "No, you would rather have spaghetti." Teaching people what they believe. It does seem odd. But that's only because you and I have been trained to think that beliefs are just a matter of personal taste, that they come from within you, and they were there from birth. And so the idea that you need to be taught what you should believe, and especially today in matters of religion and spirituality, well, that's just brainwashing. Now, you and I live in a world that's immersed in the idea that choosing what to believe about God is the same sort of decision as choosing what color socks to wear or what sort of music to listen to. We live in a world that says life's a restaurant. There's a whole menu of acceptable religions and beliefs for you to choose from. But the truth is this: you don't choose your beliefs. They choose you. Jesus' church isn't the only one teaching you what to believe. The world has its own curriculum in order to raise you and yours to be its children. Little children, the world wants to sell you a god. It wants to sell you a god. And it doesn't matter who or what that god is. It's like Walmart. You want to buy some chips? Well, Walmart doesn't care if you buy Pringles or Doritos or both, so long as you buy it from them. Friends, the world is the very same way. The world wants to sell you a god. And it could be Allah or Buddha, but it doesn't have to be. Maybe it's Justin Bieber or Santa Claus. Maybe it's a certain type of lifestyle. Maybe it's a chick flick type romance. Maybe it's good looks. Maybe it's a perfect plastic family. There are all kinds of things out there to worship, to conform your life to, and to build your life around. And the world knows it. It's become an expert at it. The world wants to market and sell you a god. And it could even be the true god. The world doesn't mind if you want to own the true God, so long as you're buying it from the marketplace of the world. You see, the world wants to be the sole mediator between God and man, the gatekeeper, the ferryman that you have to pay to cross the river to heaven, the guard who collects the toll before you cross the bridge. The world wants to sell you God, and they don't like it when the word of the true God makes people come to God without it. That's what Jesus means by his little parable of the children in the marketplace. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. When God's true message is sung to the world spins it as though it is evil and wrong, and tells people not to dance to it. Because the world wants to be the piper, and the world wants to pick the tune. And so it will reject God's tune every time. This is where John the Baptist comes in. And of course, he could really have used a PR rep. Why would anyone take advice from a man who wears camel hair suits and eats locusts? From a homeless man who rants and raves about repentance, insulting people, calling them vipers and sinners? Well, John the Baptist did all of these things without wearing the makeup of the world, without brand sponsorship, without selling out, without the world marketing him. And the thing that was so irksome to the world, to the Pharisees and the scribes, is that it was working. It's not supposed to work like that, but it was working. People actually came to hear John's message, even though he wasn't purchased from the shelves of Walmart or airbrushed by fashion marketers. And it gnashed the teeth of the Pharisees and the lawyers, at that time the CEOs of the religious world. And so the Pharisees began to sabotage John's campaign, spinning his actions and subverting his motives, saying, "Don't weep. We don't need repentance. We are children of Abraham. God loves us. We are safe. In fact, this man has a demon. Don't listen to him." But then the tables turn, and Jesus comes. And he preaches that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, just like John. Only Jesus preached the coming kingdom not as a funeral song, but as a wedding song. John preached in the minor key, but Jesus sang a joyful tune. His song was in the major key, the Hallelujah chorus even. He said, "Repent, here comes the kingdom of God, my kingdom. And you see my kingly reign as I release the captives, as I bind up the brokenhearted, as I mobilize the lame and cleanse the lepers and preach good news to the poor. So eat, drink, and be joyful and celebrate." Jesus preaches the gospel, the salvation of sinners with no fancy packaging, without dressing up the message for the window shoppers of the world, and still, wisdom's children accept it. God's children accept it. Christ, who is the very wisdom of God, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." But the hired hands, the Pharisees and the scribes, spin the story again to turn his joy into some sort of gross indulgence in the hopes of stealing his sheep. They say, "Jesus, he's a sinner and a glutton, and he's a lush." You see, they are the children of this generation, the world's children, and they want to own the religious marketplace. They are the world's children, and they don't care what you consume, so long as they are the ones who get to package and push the product you buy. They are the world's children, thieves and robbers who do not come in by the gate, but the sheep, wisdom's children, Jesus' children, did not listen to them. And it made them angry. They could not make them weep with the law or dance with the gospel, because their voice was not the shepherd's tune. You see, the world also can play in the minor and major key, just like Jesus and John. The world can preach law and gospel, make you sad or happy, whatever is your pleasure. The world can give you good news or bad news, comedy or drama. Just be sure to stay tuned and don't touch that dial. And the children of the world, who are the sheep of the world, will always bleat for more. But dear friends in Christ, you are not the sheep of the world. You are the flock of the good shepherd. The world can play you a tune in the minor key or major, and they expect you to bend like a reed in the wind. They expect you to salivate at the ring of their bell. But what the world and her children will never learn is that it doesn't matter whether you like the tune. It's whether wisdom himself is holding the flute. It's whether the voice the sheep are hearing is actually from the good shepherd. John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and the world says he has a demon. Jesus has come eating and drinking, and the world says, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom is justified by all her children. In other words, those who have wisdom can tell the difference between the truth of God and a sales pitch, for they hear wisdom's voice. Those who are truly wise hear the wisdom and the word of God and keep it. Wisdom's children heard the message of John and Jesus, and the scriptures say, they declared God just, having been baptized. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, having not been baptized. And as you know, baptism means washing. Washing. Those who were washed in baptism became wisdom's children. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says in our gospel. That the people who heard this declared God just, having been baptized. But the unbaptized Pharisees rejected. And so it's no wonder, by the way, that a church has to teach people what they believe. You see, we think our beliefs are our own, come from within us. But all our beliefs came from somewhere. You're a sports fan because the world sold you sports. You're a cowboy or a city slicker because the world made you one. You skateboard, surf, ski, snowboard because that's the way the world got to you. You and I are product of our influences, it's true. And some are good, and some are bad. But the world's lie is to make you believe that you have chosen who you are, your preferences, your likes and your dislikes. Makes it easier to sell you what you need if it can convince you that you are a god, choosing what you believe to be right and wrong, good and bad, fashionable or foolish. And it makes it all the easier for the world to call it brainwashing when the Holy Christian Church teaches you what God wants you to believe. A seminary professor was arguing once with students who complained that teaching God's word with the aim of convincing or persuading was brainwashing. And the professor replied without flinching, "We do not just wash their brains, we wash all of them, body and soul, with water and the word." The truth is, if your brain is dirty, the only thing to do is wash it. In order to be wisdom's children, we need the rebirth of water and the Spirit. We need to be washed in the teaching of God, our brains and our bodies. Our beliefs either come from the world or from God. And as Christians, we need to be told what we believe according to God's word, so that we can be washed clean of the image of the world and be conformed to the image of Christ. That way, like the people who were washed by John in the Jordan, we too can hear the true purpose of God for ourselves and declare our God just. When we are washed by Christ, we are remade in his image. Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Through believing the folly of Christ crucified, we are wisdom's children, because we have heard God's word and have not rejected it. We have seen the cross and not stumbled over it, but kneel before it. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, children of wisdom, remember, you don't need to purchase from the world what you have freely inherited from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.